May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Now, some of you have heard this story I'm about to share, but when I worked for the not-for-profit group Immigrant Access Fund, I became really good friends with one of my co-workers, Monica. She had grown up in the Roman Catholic tradition, although didn't practice anymore, and she loved dogs. She sometimes brought her dog, Kootenai, to the office with her. And often, my dog, Rosie, and I would occasionally meet Monica and Kootenai at the dog park on the weekend. Monica had been through a lot in her life, and we had lots of shared conversation, much of it around faith. And we referred to each other as Moni and Joni. Monica had a piece of property out in BC with nothing on it, and her dream was to settle there one day, live off the land by creating a market garden and doing some small animal husbandry. And one day, suddenly, she quit her job to do just that. She took all of her life savings and Kootenai and moved on to her tract of land. It was tough for her. She spent all that she had, monetarily, physically, everything. And she's only about 4 or 5 years younger than myself. She became so skinny from all of the arduous work of turning some of her patch of earth into a market garden from scratch, and from freezing the first few winters in a pretty inappropriate shelter, literally curled up with Kootenai to keep warm at night. And she soon got so skinny that she went around in pants that were ready to fall off her skinny frame if it weren't for the piece of rope she used to hold them up. She still barely makes enough from her produce, her chickens and eggs, and she has to take a number of local part-time jobs, but by all accounts, she still wouldn't trade her life for anything in the world. Well, after she moved away, Monica and I would occasionally reach out to chat, and sometimes a phone call or a text now and again. And sometimes she might have been a bit under the influence. She was in BC after all. I always think of her as my wacky friend, and I love her to pieces. But as it happens, communications decreased over the first year or so. And that happens, right, when distance separates us. But I clearly remember the day I received a phone call from her out of the blue. We hadn't communicated for close to a year. And it was November 11th, Remembrance Day of 2018. That date is stuck in my head and burned on my heart. Prior to this, I had been having conversations with Reverend Clara for several months about the possibility of becoming ordained. Even though I'd gone to university with the intention of going into divinity after my undergrad, a lot of water passed under the bridge, life happened, but I still felt called to move in some sort of direction. And I remember saying to Clara, probably too late now, probably about 4 years ago. And she replied, and I'm sure you can hear her voice when she went, maybe not. But after several more months of lunches and chats, Clara said I needed to figure out what it was that was holding me back. Because I was holding back. I couldn't put my finger on why. And then I got my phone call from Monica that Remembrance Day. And she told me she was all but completely broke. She was down to her last couple of $1,000 out of her entire life savings. She had another long, cold winter to look forward to. Yet she told me very exuberantly, she was really up. She was really, well, maybe high. But she said, Joan, it's okay because God is on my side. I am not afraid. Joni, you have to trust in God. God will provide. God will look after you. Now, here's the thing. Monica had no idea about my conversations of vocational discernment with Clara, no idea about my struggles, my indecision, my inability to truly name what it was that was preventing me from saying, okay, Lord, here I am. And it turns out that the scariest thing for me was financial security. It was the thought of quitting my job before I had reached retirement age. David had already retired from his corporate career and had been working part-time, but how might we manage financially if I quit? As it turned out, just fine. And bless my supportive husband, who said right from square one that we would do whatever it took. I had been waiting for clarification, for a sign, and then I heard a voice from the wilderness calling from my wacky friend. Trust in God. Do not be afraid. God will provide. In other words, do not worry about the money. This from a woman who was down to her final pennies, scratching out a living in the middle of nowhere. And I remember after I hung up from her call, looking up and saying, okay, I hear you. And I now refer to her as my prophetess in the wilderness. Well, speaking about prophets in the wilderness, last week and this week in our gospel readings, we've been reading about John the Baptist. And we all have a good picture of John, don't we? We think of him as kind of a wacky character. He lived in ascetic assistance out on the land, eating locusts and honey, and wore a coat of camel hair held together with a leather belt, not a rope. And this wasn't a typical garb for some groups of people around this time. John may or may not have been part of one such group called the Essenes. So it wasn't John's garb or lifestyle that necessarily made him stand out to the people. What did stand out about John was his clear call to repentance, to wash away the old, to be ready, prepared for the new, which was coming imminently. He would tell anyone who would listen that the time for the Messiah was at hand. It was time to repent, meaning to turn back again towards God. And those who would listen, he baptized, a purification ritual, right, really, based on Jewish custom. Baptizing in preparation for making oneself ready to meet and follow the Son of God. Come and see, Jesus had said. John stood out so much that people thought he might be the Messiah, and he wasn't, as he so often had to insist to people, but John was a key figure in God's master plan to proclaim God's own coming. And as we heard in today's gospel, to publicly witness, to testify how he saw the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus and how he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." John was no ordinary prophet. There had been signs and portents associated with John's birth, just as there had been for Jesus. John's birth had been foretold by the angel Gabriel, and his conception was certainly miraculous considering the age of his parents, right? Much the same as for Abraham and Sarah. And it was John's voice that Isaiah prophesied as the voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. After his birth, everyone wondered for what special purpose he had come. They were aware of all of these things. To be an instrument for the voice of God, as it turns out, when God's chosen people really needed to hear his voice. Well, God speaks through many instruments, and they can be most unusual and unexpected. Just as often they are not, God will break through in whatever way he can, from the pulpit, to the street person, through someone from another faith tradition even, through your best friend or even your enemy, or your wacky friend living on the land in BC running around with a rope holding up her pants. God is speaking to us all the time because he walks with us all the time. Odd, really, that as a people of faith, we so often forget that. All too often, faith is sacrificed on the altar of pride in this day and age, right? We love to be in control. We don't like taking orders or even suggestions. We don't like to listen. We don't think we need to listen, but we do, especially during times that are particularly challenging, personally or as a community. We cannot forget to listen and trust his voice. I pray that as the people of St. George's, we remember this, especially as we approach another time of transition. God has brought us this far. May we continue in faith and always in hope, listening for his voice and to his voice, through whatever instrument that may be. May we not forget that whatever is unfolding is all part of his plan for us, his beloved. Amen.